Hello, and welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we slowly gather power to blast a dead horse 45 d6 damage at a time. This week, we bring you a licensed game, one of our favorite subgenres, and the license in question? Well, not so much. We talk Dragon Ball Z, the surprisingly accurate RPG of yelling about power levels and gathering all the balls real close. Just getting them all snug and collected. System Mastery.
Man, there are a lot of what's up my butt challenge videos on YouTube.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's because you don't have to prove it, right? I mean,
well, it's on YouTube. There's video.
Yeah, but it's video of a person standing there. It's not like it's a video of a butthole with a thing in it.
Well, you don't know. You're not looking at what I'm looking at. You haven't seen what I've seen.
That's true, but I'm going off what YouTube's like standards are, where my assumption is it's just a person standing there looking awkward and being like, you don't know what's up my butt, do you?
Oh, there's like a lot of special guests. They got Harley Mornstein from Epic Mealtime. I guess he's got something up his butt. It's probably bacon.
I have no idea what that is. I'm not a YouTube type person.
You don't care about the YouTubes or the youth of America.
No, man, I'm into the podcasting. I like it old-fashioned.
No, I like the new media. I'm one of the new media rock stars.
Not me. Not if it involves having to get people to guess what's in my butt. I mean, I think that's...
I mean, come on, we can do that. Let's play the what's in my butt challenge right here on the podcast.
We'll do it as a somewhat more classy affair. Pinkies up, gentlemen. Out of your butts and up. Oh, Sir Jonathan, take a guess as to what's in my butt.
Is it poop?
Probably.
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll need to have my butler check for me.
Your butler?
Yeah, you get it?
No, I get it.
No, do you get it, though?
Yeah, no, I'm there.
My butler?
No, I get it. It's different from the person who checks for things in your vagina for you, your vaginaler.
I thought that's who fought Batman.
No, that's the Ruddler. He commits Paul Rudd-themed crimes.
Not. Hey!
Hey! Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, it's Dragon Ball Z? I thought it was Dragon Balls, and it was like Hood.
Kind of like how that movie, like, Days...
It was like Boys in the Hood. I thought it was like Dragon Balls.
Well, first of all, that band is actually called Boy Z in the Hood. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Chef Boise in the Hood.
So Dragon Ball Z. What kind of familiarity do you have with this license before we get into the RPG therein?
Yeah. Well, I watched all of the Frieza saga probably like 3 times, and that's mostly it.
Just the Frieza, like not even the Vegeta saga before the Frieza saga?
No, I didn't watch any of the Saiyan stuff before that. I didn't watch any of like the Cell saga. I didn't watch any of that bullshit. I think it was basically just Frieza, and then I would catch random scattered episodes.
Okay.
Like, I think I saw like 4 of the Majin Buu one.
Right. So, I guess we should probably... Alright, so first of all, yes, we are doing a licensed game this week. It is the Dragon Ball Z role-playing game.
It is indeed, and it's sort of weird. It's a company that apparently had some other RPG stuff and just managed to get this license.
Yeah, and they made a very simplified version of the game for this license. That's the impression I got. Although, honestly, they kept calling it the fusion system that they use in this game. They're like... The rules therein are the fusion system. And I was like, oh, okay, so it's proprietary. This was built by Dragon Ball Z for Dragon Ball Z, because it's got fusion mentioned in the title, and that was a thing on that show.
Yeah, except this really reads like someone's fan book. Like, this does not read like someone made a licensed game.
No, first of all, I guess we gotta get the name right. It's Dragon Ball Z, the anime adventure game.
Yeah.
And you're right, it reads more like... I have this friend, Lauren. I've mentioned her on the show before because she runs like an anime store. And she has these books that they sell in Japan. They're like just books about the shows you like. They're just like, hey, do you like Death Note? Here's a book about Death Note. It won't tell you anything you don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're already a fan, you know all of this.
But here's a bunch of more pictures, which, again, you have all these pictures already because they're just pictures from the show.
Yep.
And descriptions of the characters that you like so much. Look, it's Light Yagami. You want to read basic...
That's way better than the full calorie Yagami.
I couldn't remember anyone else's name on that show. Isn't it just L?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I did it.
Which means the.
His full name is El Camino. Which means the road.
He is the realest of Caminos.
Okay, so let's see. This was made by... Well, it just says it's fusion-powered. Oh, here we go. It's by R. Talsorian Games.
Okay.
And I feel like we've done something by them before, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Well, they bring up their website where you can go to find the full rules instead of the sort of simplified ones they have in this game.
Yeah.
They also mention they have rules for, like, superheroes and whatnot, but then continually are like, oh, but Dragon Ball Z characters beat the shit out of them, because they are... really all about telling you how much Goku could beat the crap out of Superman.
Yeah.
Like, that is a thing they like to do.
Definitely sort of a sub-theme in this book is, I think it comes up like four times.
Oh, yeah. Every time they mention, like, oh, power level, but what if you're not a Dragon Ball character? Well, a gun does this much, and then it does the scale of how much damage something does, and it's like, and Superman would do, like, 26 dice of damage. And then a little side note that says, Superman is a little bitch baby, and Goku would beat the shit out of him. Man.
Which is weird, because... You know, I'll be honest with you, one of my least favorite hypothetical conversation scenarios is the which fictional character from one, which universe can beat up another one from a different universe, because it's completely arbitrary. There's nothing to go on. It's like, oh, could Magneto defeat Superman because magnetism is so versatile? I don't know, and I don't care. Because
the answer is, I don't know who's writing.
Yeah, the answer is, I don't know, who's better at arguing right now? That's really it. And which Magneto are we talking about? And which Superman are we talking about? This is not a very interesting conversation. The worst is when Batman gets involved, because then it's just, how much time does he have to prepare? How recently was one of the Bat family defeated near him?
How angry is he? How sad is the Bat?
How dead are his parents?
Dead, very dead, super dead, Batman dead.
The deadest.
That's the scale of how dead your parents are. It's like, alive, dead, very dead, super dead, Batman.
It's the only thing that matters. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so this whole thing where it keeps being like, well, Goku could defeat Superman easily. It's like, why use Superman as your arbitrary scale?
Yeah, which also is weird because they're like, oh, well, you know, with 1,000 points of damage, you could punch a mountain. I'm like, have you seen Superman punch a mountain? He can do that.
Yeah, and he can get knocked through mountains, no problem. Nothing ever really seems to faze Superman all that bad. And you know what? I'll tell you this also. Superman has died once. And Goku dies like once a series.
Oh, yeah. Every time he's like, oh, we need to establish that our new threat is actually a badass. We need to have him kill Goku, then they can get the balls.
And then Goku does that run down that snake road or whatever.
He goes down Snake Way to whatever Cobra Kai's house, and then he sweeps the leg.
So, okay, this game is set entirely during the Vegeta saga.
Yeah, it's during that Saiyan saga.
Yeah, the Saiyan story, which means that it is the very beginning of Dragon Ball Z at the end of Dragon Ball, which was the first show. And which, by the way, is an awesome show by comparison. Dragon Ball is way more fun because it's got a bunch of weird army dudes and a bunch more random villains. And it's not just endless guys in the same armor yelling about power levels. But anyway, we're in Dragon Ball Z. So we start with the longest introduction that we've seen in a book yet. I'd say the only ones that have come close are like Deliria and Nobilis. And this one still wins just on pure percentage, because it's like the first 80% of the book is just story stuff.
I mean, it's not that bad, but it really is just, hey, did you know that Dragon Ball Z is a show? Let me tell you about the show and the characters and the history.
Oh my gosh, here's a whole page about Gohan. Gohan is 4 years old.
Let me tell you about Toriyama. Let me give you his whole background.
The nice thing, I thought it was funny that they kept having these little sidebars that had a picture of a United States map morphing into a Japan flag. And it was like, here's something special from the translator. And all of them were the most boring things.
Well, yeah, it's all just, did you know that there's puns in these names?
Yes.
It's true.
Every dumbass knows that already. Everyone knows that fucking Vegeta means vegetables. It's not
fucking Raditz. And...
Yeah. It's the Nappa. Yeah, yeah, that's a type of cabbage. You got it. There it is.
Woo, you did it.
You got it. You got it in one. Everyone's named after food except for Piccolo. Because back in Dragon Ball, he had a whole team that were all named after musical instruments with him.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Everyone, and a couple, and it's all family stuff like that. Like, there's the Vegeta people are all named after vegetables, the Goku people are all named after Japanese food, The Vegeta's wife, the Bulma family, they're all named after underwear.
Underwear. Because you get briefs and trunks and bra.
You never have to meet Bra, of course, because she's a half Saiyan girl, so she doesn't get to do anything interesting. It saves you from having to deal with a character named Bra running around.
I know. Although that, it would be great if it was just like a bunch of people and Goku have to be like, hey, Bra!
It's no, I mean, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be awesome if there wasn't a badass girl on this show. I mean, there's exactly one. It's Android 18 is the only time they ever had a cool female character that had superpowers.
And for the longest time, I thought Frieza.
Oh, right? Yeah, I think a lot of people think Frieza, because the coding is difficult when you watch it in the dub release. They kind of give him a feminine voice, and Frieza's got fucking lipstick on.
Oh, yeah. Frieza is, like, in at least in one of his forms, just kind of a very sleek, pretty sexy lady. Like, I'm not going to lie, I've jerked it to Frieza. God damn it, I couldn't get through that. Okay.
Couldn't quite get through admitting to jerking off to Frieza.
Couldn't quite.
I'm sorry. Which one was it? Was it the one where she had he had the cybernetic upgrades after he had been defeated?
No, it's that super yoked one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think we've all been there, bro.
Everyone's been there where you're like, oh man, that dude is jacked. All right, I gotta get jacked, if you know what I mean.
Let me summarize the saga real quick here. So, Goku, his tail fell off a long time ago. It used to make him super aggressive, but when his tail fell off and he got bonked on the head, he turned into a nice guy. He trains as a super martial artist by hanging out with this crazy old pervert man named Master Roshi on an island called Turtle Island with a little whiny human monk named Krillin. Krillin has 6 dots on his head and is, like, comically short.
Hey, man, you completely forgot about Son Gohan. That's who trained him.
No, that's right. So, well, it's because I'm not covering the Dragon Ball saga. I'm covering Dragon Ball Z. Son Gohan, long gone.
Yeah, but that's where Gohan comes from.
Yeah,
from that name.
He's named after his adopted grandfather, yes. But I'm still just covering Dragon Ball Z. So these guys...
Yeah, the book covers everything. Fuck you, buddy.
God damn it. I know all that shit, too, because unlike you, who has watched the Frieza saga like 3 times, I've watched it all.
I know. You're weird.
I had to do something while I was painting. I don't know if people know this, but before we started the podcast, I used to be a regular avid 40K and War Machine painter. And so I have a lot of like Dark Eldar models and junk like that. And when I was painting, I would just put on whatever to just kind of have noise in the background. And that meant the entire Dragon Ball story.
Yeah, well, there's nothing better for generating noise in the background than Dragon Ball.
It's true. You can, because if you look up, it's just some guy grunting and yelling still.
Which, I mean, it's basically between that and gay porn, and that's pretty much it.
Gay porn holds my attention a lot better. So I can't use it, because I have to paint. So I'm like, okay, let's just put on this. Oh, look at that. Yamcha's still kind of gathering power. Okay, I'll check back in a second.
Good for you. On the next thrilling episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Alright, so if we go all the way back to the beginning, then a long time ago, an old monk named Son Gohan finds a little boy in a canyon somewhere.
And he misses his mom very much.
The boy is extremely aggressive and dangerous until he falls down a canyon and bonks his head. That turns him into a nice kid. Later on, he loses his tail. Then he meets a bunch of people, including a bad guy who calls himself like the King of Hell or something, named Piccolo. Because Piccolo at that time did not know he was an alien.
Well, yeah, because, and it mentions this in the book, the Earth of Dragon Ball has, like, just pig dudes and talking cats and, like...
Dogmen, yeah.
A whole bunch of shit walking around, so just a green dude. Everyone's like, yeah, you're probably from here.
Yeah, I haven't seen another one like you, but if you want to pretend to be the king of, like, bad guys or whatever, the Demon Lord Piccolo, then fine, that's cool, whatever, man. Enjoy it. Just get into that martial arts tournament. Anyway, he has a bunch of misadventures with a bunch of people, including Yamcha, Tien, Chaozu, Puar, Oolong... And, let's see, also Chi-Chi and Bulma. And then that saga ends. He has a 4-year-old son now named Gohan. And, Piccolo has become an unlikely ally. And he hangs out with Krillin on Turtle Island, training under Master Roshi, when all of a sudden a new guy arrives on the planet, a guy with way too big of hair named Raditz.
Yep.
And Raditz is this bad guy, and so they have a fight. And it turns out that Raditz is actually Goku's brother, and he's wondering why Goku's nice instead of being a dick like everyone from his race, the Saiyans, are supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, well, he was sent here to conquer Earth eventually, and it didn't.
Yeah, and the only way that they could defeat him was for Goku to hold him still while Piccolo shot him with a laser, like a corkscrew blast, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to shoot, so he had to hold him still for a long time, like taking an old-fashioned photograph.
Yeah.
Like, they had to dress him up in his Sunday finery.
And they were just real dour, staring off into the middle distance.
Yeah, just staring into space. One of them's probably dead, because it wasn't weird to take a photo with a dead person back then. You don't know. And then that kills both of them, so the most of the saga takes place while Goku's running through hell trying to get back home.
Yeah, he's just running around on the Snake Way, and then there's King Yamaka, and he's like, hey, get off my cloud. Hey, you, get off my cloud.
There's this big dude named... God, I can't believe I'm explaining the fucking Dragon
Ball
saga.
And then there's Princess Snake Lady, and Princess Snake Lady's like, I want you for my army of dudes. And then he's like, nah, brah, nah.
Yeah, also, it's not hell, it's Hiffle, the home for infinite losers.
Yeah, get Hiffled.
Yeah, you gotta go to Hiffle and hang out with two ogres who treat the place like summer camp. And then after that, you get to run around on Snake Way until you finally get to King Kai's floating planet, which has 10 times as much gravity. And you spend a lot of time there trying to catch a monkey and then trying to hit a grasshopper with a hammer.
I mean, yeah.
And then when that stuff's all done, you get to go back and beat up Frieza and Nappa and Nappa's Cybermen.
Frieza, Vegeta. God.
I'm sorry, Vegeta. You get to beat up Vegeta and Nappa, and then that's over, and that's the end of this part of the story, because this book only covers that saga.
Yep, and that's it. Congratulations, everyone. You did it.
You did it.
You got through this adventure.
There it is. That's the game of Dragon Ball Z. Now, okay, so it just goes on and on. There's long, rambling pages after page of like, hey, this is Kami. He's another Namek dude who lives on a weird bowl in the sky with a needle that connects to the ground. And he's a nice old man, and here's his storyline. Here's his power level.
Yeah, it's going to give you everyone's power level and all of their stats and all of their special fighting techniques and their energy blasts.
I was hoping that the severe attention to detail would explain why Chi-Chi is able to hit Goku with things. Because that's always been the thing on the show, is like, I'm the greatest martial artist in the universe and everything I do is insanely cool. Ow, you hit me with a frying pan. How's she getting away with that? Is he just letting her? Isn't that super patronizing?
Well, also, there's the thing that got me was, okay, so Goku is a Saiyan that's super crazy powerful and can get like thrown through a planet and not give a shit. But as a kid, a bonk on the noggin made him change his personality.
It was a really good bonk on the noggin.
Just real solid bonking.
Yeah, it was one of the best bonks ever.
In the history of the world, there have been 5 bonks that have been rated most noggin crashing.
Yeah, there was Bonk the Caveman from the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
And then hit the 2 sequels to Bonk the Caveman on the TurboGrafx-16. And then Bonk the Caveman for the Sega Game Gear. And then there was the bonk on the head that Goku suffered in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, number one.
Yeah, it's the one.
Yeah, number one North America.
All the other ones were TurboGrafx-16 games about a caveman with a bonking head.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was terrible. I'm sorry.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. All right, let's actually get to the rules of this thing, because I guess we kind of have to.
All right, so...
The fusion rules.
The rules on this are actually fairly simple.
Yeah, very simple.
So you're going to have 4 stats. Mm-hmm. It's just your mental, your physical... Your fighting, and what was the last? Oh, move.
Move, yeah. It's mental, combat, physical, and move.
Oh, yeah. Fighting is the skill. Combat is the stat.
That's correct, yeah.
But yeah, so you just have those 4 stats. You're going to end up getting 40 points total to put into those stats.
Yeah.
So an average of 10 apiece.
Right, and a human average is like a 5 or something. So your character is crazy powerful to start.
Yeah, even then, they were like, oh, human, like if you're just a regular dude, is probably a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
If you're like, I'm pretty buff and I can go do stuff, maybe you have a 5 or a 6.
Yeah.
And like maximum would be an 8.
Right, so you're already very, very powerful in the rules of this game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a running theme that they really want to reinforce, is that, like, this isn't really a story about martial artists. This is a story about crazy cartoon martial artists.
Like, you are basically demigods just running around in, like, an outfit being crazy.
And you know what? I'll say, I appreciate that. I think that's really cool that they went ahead and they were like, look, we don't want you to have to start out playing through your Bruce Lee years in this game. You're playing Dragon Ball Z. You can kick mountains over and shoot fireballs out of your eyes. Whatever. Who cares? Just have fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, they also go out of their way to go like, here's the damage that a gun does. It's like 2. You don't care. You are literally bulletproof. If you see the police force come at you, Don't feel like you need to worry about them. If you see the army come at you, don't feel like you need to worry about them. However, if you see a dude in a, like, gi come out, probably care about that.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of clever, because that explains the whole story in the Dragon Ball Z universe is like, oh, two guys are fighting. Can anyone get involved in this? Not really.
No.
You can have some people hiding behind a low hill nearby and getting real mad about it, but that's about all that's going to happen.
Yep.
That's like the one thing that happens on the sidelines of a Dragon Ball Z fight. The world doesn't react.
No. And I think early on you had a little bit of the, oh, maybe like there's an army or something and they give a fuck.
There's traditionally an army that's canon in the Dragon Ball Z universe called the Red Ribbon Army.
Yeah.
And they were a relatively credible threat during the Dragon Ball era.
But yeah, nowadays, it's like once you hit Dragon Ball Z, especially once you're done with the Saiyan saga where Goku's like, and now I'm just stupid, dumb, powerful because I've trained on gravity in the other world and now I can fucking destroy everything. You're like, okay, now it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it officially, the background story is just there for comedy beats at this point.
Oh yeah, we're just gonna occasionally cut back to Earth and be like, oh, what are the Chodes at Capsule Corp doing? Mostly nothing.
Let's check in with old Tien. How you doing, Tien? I'm okay. I still have three eyes like a weirdo.
Yay.
All right, goodbye then.
Good job.
Did you want to see my little Chinese vampire? No, we're good.
I'm okay.
Upset, thank you.
You keep it.
I feel like he's going to have a weird, annoying, high-pitched voice, and I'm going to pass. Okay, so anyway, you have the four stats. You can put tens in all of them if you want. You have to roll to see if you can be the two extra races in the game. You can roll to see if you are a Saiyan or a Namek. Your chances are super low.
Ridiculously low.
Isn't it like to play as a Saiyan?
To get a Namek, you need a 2 or 3 on 2d6, and to be a Saiyan, you need a 2 on 2d6.
Yeah, so a fairly low chance.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that too much, although it doesn't really change much if you're playing as those. The only thing it changed was your capability to earn extra experience by working out in higher gravity.
Yeah, so Saiyans have no limit to how high of a gravity they can get into.
Yeah.
But you have to continually work your way up, so you're like, oh, I train in 4 times, and then I can do that for a while, and next time I do it, I can train in 6 times, and so on.
And that's this whole other thing with the XP system in this game is shenanigans, which we'll get to in a second, because we might as well go through this in order.
Okay, so you get your stats.
And then also there are 6 skills in the game.
Yeah, and you're going to get a bunch of skill points, and you're going to throw those into your skills.
Yeah, and the 6 skills are fighting, evasion, weapon, power, body, and mind. And again, the game did a really good job of simplifying. Just like I was saying earlier, I appreciate that this game is like dispensing with some of the unnecessary things about playing a lower power game. It also dispenses with unnecessarily granular skills for the Dragon Ball Z universe.
Well, yeah, because you're playing in a Dragon Ball universe, this isn't a place where they're like, oh yeah, well, we need to have really distinct skills for, like, are you someone that likes to doodle around with technology? What about riding a horse? You're like, no, man, I'm a goddamn Super Saiyan. I'm not riding a horse. I'm not doing botany. I don't need any of that crap.
Yeah, I am not an anthropologist.
But if you want to say, yeah, my guy knows a bunch about whatever, you just go, I put points into my mind skills.
Yeah, and then I know stuff. And then the 4 stats, by the way, are very simple in terms of what they do. Your power or your combat stat is the one you roll to hit dudes. Your physical stat is the one you use to resist damage. Your mental stat informs a couple of the skills and also is just used flat out as your initiative score. And your move is how fast you can go.
Yep.
So they all do something. So it's actually worthwhile to keep points in all of them. And then the only derived stats that exist in this game are you multiply your physical times 5 to get the amount that you subtract from any attack that hits you.
Yeah, that's your defense.
That's your defense, and then you multiply it by 10 to get your hit points.
Yep, that's it.
And you're done. Except for one other roll you have to do, which is roll 2d6 as if they were percentile dice.
Which is just the dumbest thing in this, because so far, you're like, okay, you've only got 4 stats, you got 40 points, you got 6 skills, you got 60 points to put in your skills. Okay, great. Everything can be even, you can do whatever. We're very capable of doing a little bit of granularity between them, but if you want to play an average guy, you can do that. Everyone is super balanced because there's not a huge difference between a lot of the things. And then it gets to power level, and in power level, you can go anywhere from 110 to 660, depending on what you roll, and then that is so important because the power level is going to be...
It's the mana of the game.
It's your power points to do everything. So if I randomly roll and get 110, and you all of the abilities you use take 10 to do, you're like, oh, I can do 11 things.
Yeah.
And it's 11 low power things.
They recover fairly fast. There are two stats you roll here. One of them is your power level. And again, this is the power level from Dragon Ball Z, the thing where all the guys wearing those little eyepieces are always yelling about it. They're always like, oh, it's over 5,000 or whatever they say. I think it's 9,000.
9,000. God, get your dumb memes right.
9,000 is the meme. Thank you. Anyway, well, you know what? I'm right, though. It is over 5,000, John.
It's over 4.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, thank you. I am technically correct.
Yeah, but wrong.
Okay, so this is the power level that they are yelling about on the show. You roll 2d10 with one of them representing the hundreds digit and one of
six.
Them... Oh, sorry, 2d6 with one of them representing the hundreds digit and the other one the tens, and you get a power level between 110 and 660. It is your power level is your ability to spend mana on doing stuff.
And there's a shitload of stuff to spend it
on. Yeah, you can use it to fire beams, you can use it to buy extra attacks during a round, you can use it to put up, like, reflective shielding.
You can use it to fly, you can use it to, like, teleport or do weird special powers.
Yeah, and they answer a couple of the questions about Dragon Ball Z right here. Like, for example, teleporting in this game is actually just moving super fast.
Yeah, it's moving so fast that the eye can't follow you.
Yes, and that means that you can move so fast that you leave after images... At a crazy high cost, it's 100 per power level per round you have a clone up. And you know, if you have a high power level recovery rate, which is the other thing you also roll, you roll your power level and then you do the exact same roll again, and that one is your power level recovery rate, which is how many power points you get back at the start of each round.
Well, you have your power up stat.
Thank you, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the one
so
I'm talking
about. So you can power up in the game, which is... You know, what the game or the show is famous for is those people sitting around in a glow of energy going, oh, gathering energy, you can do that.
You can add more to your final power level total. You can actually get it, like, you can double your power level by just standing there yelling for a long time.
Yeah, but it does take time, and unlike the show, in the game, if you just sit there yelling and powering up, someone can run up and kick you in the nuts.
Yeah, that's the thing on the show is that you know, that can happen on the show too, but it never did because the opponent was always like, yeah, I am the best. I will stand here. Your pitiful attacks are pitiful.
Look at him attempting to power up. Ha 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 ha. Yes. I will just wait and then I will slap him down like the insect he is.
He will start powering up as I hang out in this smoke cloud that is taking probably about two shows to dissipate.
Meanwhile, back at Capsule Corps, yoop de doop de doo. Hey guys, I've got a car. Those were the worst.
Thanks,
anytime
Bulma.
There was an episode that was like, and now let's check in on people you don't care about.
That was actually my favorite thing on that show. Whenever they'd zip in and be like, let's see what Yajirobe's doing. And I'd be like, oh, fat little samurai. Great. Let's see what's up with this guy. What's up, little fat samurai? Because at least it's better than watching two blonde guys yell.
No,
I mean,
no,
up until I came out, that was way better for me to be like, oh, look at that. I was hanging out with this weird little pig man and this samurai guy. Let's see what they're doing.
But they're never doing anything. They're like, oh, what are you doing? We're repairing a rocket ship. Okay, is that going to have any importance at all? Nope.
We're hanging out with a witch.
Man, what's going on Earth? That's weird.
It's weird shit. There's like a cat that grows beans on a tower. There's a witch that's like... some guy's, or Master Roshi's sister.
Yeah, there's a wizard in a basement that knows why you're here.
Yeah. I mean, the list of extra characters in Dragon Ball Z has always been in a crazy awesome list. I mean, if you think, you've got a giant man who is, like, Chi-Chi's dad, who's, like, the Ox King. And you've got, like, a little cat that flies around and a little hopping vampire that flies around.
Yeah, everyone's flying around.
Well, everyone can fly, but a lot of them could fly before, like, Goku figured that shit out. Like, Chao Su can fly because he's a magic vampire.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. You've got these four stats. You have six skills. You have your power level and your power up. And then you also can take some power points and use them as a starting resource to purchase powers that you can use, which are things like energy blasts and the ability to suddenly power up and so on. Kind of your special fighting techniques, they call them.
You've got some fighting techniques, and your fighting techniques are mostly your punch and kick. And the way it works is it's essentially power attack from D&D. You trade accuracy for damage.
Yes.
So for each die you want to add to damage, you subtract one from your fighting skill when you use it. So if I have a technique that is the thunderous blast of elemental power, and it adds +6 to a punch, then I'm -6 to hit.
So here's how that works, because we haven't told them how the die mechanic works yet. It's the rank you have in your stat, plus the rank you have in a relevant skill, plus 3...
D6.
D6.
Everything is D6.
Everything is D6s. And it's not the... You don't add your rank, you add that many dice.
Yeah. So when you are doing something like, okay, I'm adding my my combat and my fighting, and so that's like, let's say I've got a 10 and a 10, just because I wanted to go even in everything.
Yeah.
So I've got a 20 and 3d6. And the difficulty levels for most things are 10 is the ridiculously easy to do.
Yeah.
And then it says something like 36 would be impossible.
It's like 26 with a +6 modifier.
And then at that point you just go, yeah, but I'm a DBZ guy, so I'm sure you copy and pasted that out of your regular game.
Yeah.
But for me, it's, oh, what is that? Oh, it's 26. You'll never do that. I'm like, man, I do that on the reg.
That's all I do. It's hard for me to not do that.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about this game, is it's very difficult to fail. So really, and again, it leads into one of the other very difficult things about this game. This is a straight-up PvP game.
Oh, yeah. Well, the only thing you're really doing is fighting other guys that have the exact same stat blocks that you do, because there's not really a monster manual. You don't have, like, oh, this is a generic Saiyan, and he has some hit points and whatever, but nothing else. You have to make a character sheet. Granted, it's easy,
yeah,
but you have to make a character sheet for everyone, because everyone is a special thing.
Right. I mean, granted, it does have these stats for a couple. It doesn't have a generic Saiyan or a police officer or anything like that. But what it has instead is, you know, Nappa, Raditz, the Cybermen, if you want to fight those little green lettuce guys.
Which always just seemed to me like it was Homestar Runner saying Cybermen.
Oh, yeah. When I first heard about Dragon Ball Z from a friend, she was describing the Cybermen saga or Cybermen fight to me. And I was like, oh, they're like little robots? And she's like, no, they're like lettuces.
Little like, cabbage guys?
Why are they called that? And she was like, oh, it's because of a translation from Japanese, and they're like actually plant men or something, I think is the name. Like, that's what they'd be called in Japan or something. And I was like, oh, okay, but in American, why didn't they just call them plant men instead of changing it to Cybermen, which makes them sound like a Doctor Who thing?
Yep. Nope. We're not doing that.
Whatever.
No one likes it.
They're just little lettuce guys, but you get their stats, so they're a great option for an early fight, but mostly, you're supposed to be fighting each other in this.
Yeah.
That's all the DM advice, which this game has. There's like 2 pages of rules in this book, sandwiched between like 80 pages of descriptions of DBZ characters and like 30 pages of extremely bad DM advice.
Yeah, I mean, some of it, you're like, okay, there's a little bit of the DM advice that's, okay, well, if you're talking to your players, give them the information and then make it so that they know what's happening. You're like, okay, great, that's fine. But then other times it goes, hey, maybe you should just make a guy who's more powerful than everyone combined and just fuck him up. That'll teach him.
Which is, you know, on the one hand, that's bad because just beating up all your players is stupid. But on the other hand, it is one of the fastest ways to get XP.
Well, surviving a fight against someone that is way better than you gives you XP.
Yes.
And way more than you would get, because normally you can get like 10 per year.
Yeah, you get like 10 XP a year from training, and if you train at higher gravity, then it multiplies the amount of XP you get, because that's a thing on the show. So, all the things that are on the show that you'd be like, well, we're probably going to dispense with this because it wouldn't work in a role-playing game, they just kept them in there. So, you slowly get better by just training, that's where XP comes from, except for getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, so getting your ass kicked gives you XP, training gives you XP, and the only way to train faster is to, or not even faster, to train and get more than 10 per year, you have to do it in higher gravity or in the pendulum room so that time is slowed down.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I spent like 1,000 years in here, but it was only a day, whatever.
That's something that comes up during the Boo saga.
Boo.
Yeah, that's when Trunks and Gohan, I want to say, go into a time chamber and spend a lot of time training to become like super good at something called fusion, so they can come out and fuse into one guy called Gotenks.
Oh yeah, I remember Gotenks.
So that they can fight Boo. So that's a thing. That's where that comes from. I don't know. I watched all of it, every single one, and I don't remember most of it. I'm like, all right, I can kind of name the order of bad guys. You fight Raditz, and then Vegeta, and then Frieza, and then Cell, and then Boo, and then, here we go, Truffle, and then Shenron the Dragon King.
Really? They have to fight Shenron?
Yeah, but it's different. It's like a guy.
Aw.
If you ever look up Shenron from GT, he's like just some dude. He's like, he has like a dragony head, but not really, like a human face with like a mustache and everything, but like dragon horns.
Okay.
And he's just called Shenron still for no good reason.
That's weird.
I think
he
might be called
that?
Like Omega Shenron or something. I don't remember.
Bleh.
It doesn't matter. The GT is just weird, stupid nonsense. It's when they finally give up on the whole turning blonde thing for going all Super Saiyan, and they give it, in exchange, you go to Super Saiyan 4, which is you grow your monkey stuff back.
Like
you
oh,
get,
good.
You get, like, monkey paws and hands, and your tail grows back, and you get, like, long black hair.
You get more Saiyan-y.
You get even monkier, and you're, I guess, better at fighting. Although, at that point, they've been getting so much better at fighting every time that who cares?
Yeah.
You see him, you see Goku just walk out. Although you don't really, because Goku spends almost all of GT as a 10-year-old. Anyway, you see him come out in his GT4 outfit. He's like, yeah, I'm so good at fighting. And I'm like, I remember you being real good at fighting before. It's going to take a lot to impress me. And he's like, well, I'll beat up this little guy. No, it doesn't. This isn't working.
No, sorry.
We're going to have to move on from Truffle. We're going to have to do the Truffle Shuffle. All right.
Aww.
Anyway, this game does not include Super Saiyan, because that didn't happen during the Vegeta saga.
Nope. There is no rules for going all Super Saiyan. You cannot go SSJ3.
So if you're super disappointed at the notion of a Dragon Ball game where you can't go Super Saiyan, because let's face it, that's kind of like the thing. Like, even if you don't like Dragon Ball in the slightest, you at least know that a lot of weirdos have t-shirts of weird blonde muscle dudes. And you're like, that's because those guys are Super Saiyan.
I want more shirts of blonde muscle dudes.
I tell you, when I was a kid, I was like 16 or 17 years old, and I was on a water polo team, and I was like rail skinny. I was desperate to find a Piccolo t-shirt, because I like the character Piccolo. So I went far and wide trying to find one, but no, you can't find that. You can find Trunks, or you can find Gohan or Goku. That's all you can find on a t-shirt. Until I finally did. I found one Piccolo shirt in one comic book store, in one size, which was double X. And I bought it, and it was a fucking tent. It was useless, but now it fits.
Good. Great.
I grew into that shit.
You were planning for the future.
I was like, someday I'm going to be a fat sack. And when that day comes, I'll have a Piccolo shirt.
Finally. Everyone will be able to know. I think that's what it was, is you bought the shirt, and then the universe formed around it. It was like, what did you buy? A double X Piccolo shirt? Oh, well, wish granted.
That is a life plan in a shirt purchase. That's like making a decision. That's like buying a gun in an alley. Nothing good comes from this.
No, you know what you're into.
Yeah. It's like this sets a path before you, and it does not lead to a happy ending. You buy a Piccolo shirt in a comic book store that's way too big for you, and the universe will fix you for it.
Oh, yeah. That is straight up just like, well, you wanted it. You get it.
Yeah. That's like a gypsy just walked up to me and was like, Piccolo. I was like, no! All right. So, the way you fight in this game is you add your stat and your skill to your 3d6, and you roll that, and you check it against a value to see whether or not you hit. If you're swinging at someone else, it's an opposed value.
Yeah, so you can either just use your standard stats for trying to get out of the way, or you can evade, and then you don't get to attack. You get a plus, I think it's like 3 or something, so it's basically an extra d6.
Yeah.
To your evade skill, and then you roll and try and get out of the way.
Now, it is possible, one of the things you can spend your points on at the beginning of any turn is buying more attacks for any given turn. Normally, you have one action per turn. You can use it to move, you can use it to fight, you can use it to dodge, but you can boost the number of things you're going to get to do during one turn by, like, modifying how fast you are or something. It's one of the powers that you have.
One of the powers is just you get to go more times.
Yeah.
So it's, I spend X amount of points, and it gives me X amount of actions. Hooray.
Right. So you can use that and then evade and come right back and punch someone. So you're not just permanently on the defensive. In the game, the descriptions of play are mostly just very, very loose fights between the players.
Oh, yeah. The initial setup was just a, let's teach you how to play this game. Each of you is going to take one of these fighters, and you're just going to fight each other in a Budokai tournament.
Yeah. And it starts with one of them going, okay, I will intentionally lower my power level visibility to 100 so that I appear to be weaker than I am. And then the other guy goes, I'll use my scanner to determine the power level of my foe. 100? I can easily defeat this foe. And then it cuts to a DM sidebar that's like, in this instance, the player who's using his scanner should know he's being fooled because the lowest power level possible for a player character is 110, but he has made a critical error and will pay the price.
See, the problem I have with that is you can, again, just on a random die roll be like, oh, I rolled a 660 and they rolled a 110. I can't actually just beat the shit out of you. It doesn't matter.
I know, and that's not really... the point to me is they keep catching the players on the stupidest mistakes in the world that no player would ever make. It's almost like they wrote the book to be too easy for the DM. Like, hey, DM, this is going to be super easy. Your players are just going to be goofy dumb shits who are going to constantly make dumb mistakes and bumble around at each other.
Well, probably, if you're trying to emulate Dragon Ball Z.
But realistically, the players are going to never make mistakes because they're going to be some power gaming min-maxers. And so instead, they'll be like, I will not even bother lowering my power level because that is a waste of an action.
Yeah.
Instead, I will put up a 300 power deflection shield, so if he shoots anything shitty at me, it'll bounce back at him.
Yeah, but then the other guy's like, I straight up get into his dome and punch it.
Yeah. It's weird. If someone hits you, then first they subtract your defense, and if it doesn't do anything after that, then you take no damage, but it could still knock you back. And if it does more than your defense, then you take that many damage in hits, which is the amount of like hit points you have.
Yep.
Those recover at the top of every, I want to say four rounds. At the top of every four rounds, you recover up to your physical or twice your physical in lost hits.
Yeah. Because the whole thing is about you can get punched and beat up a lot, but you're going to stay in the fight.
Yeah.
The theme.
You keep getting better until you're finally knocked down. And whether you are killed or just knocked out is 100% up to the DM. It's very simplified.
Yeah. They're like, look, if you took just a whole crap load of damage, we can say you're just in a smoking crater and are unconscious, or we can say you are straight up dead.
One of the things I found amusing was that this game has a similar concern that crops up in the tabletop war game, War Machine, which is sometimes it's not even worth it to try and hit something because its armor is just too high. But if you shove it around, it'll hit a wall and take damage from that instead. And that happens in this. If you take a bunch of knockback, then the knockback will deal damage to you. And knockback is just, you get shoved back the number of feet of damage you took or something like that. So when you get punched, even if your defense is like, no, that doesn't get me, you still get thrown 30 feet backwards and bang into a wall.
Yeah, but it still needs to actually do damage to you in order for you to care.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the big things they were talking about in the deflection shield, and this is, oh yeah, if you have a deflection shield, you don't even give a fuck if an energy blast hits you. Who cares?
Well, okay, so, like we said, you can play as Nameks or Saiyans or Half-Saiyans. One of my favorite things in here is when you get to the back, there's this big list of DM advice. As I've already mentioned, the DM advice is kind of insultingly stupid for a lot of it, but then a lot of it is stuff that I've never seen in a book before. Like, there's a section on how to build miniatures by buying Dragon Ball action figures and taking them apart. Oh my
god, that was amazing. So, yeah. One of the things that they talk about a lot is you have a move stat, and your move is supposed to be equal to your height as a character.
Yes.
So
you
move
6 feet in a round or whatever.
A move isn't like a standardized, like, oh, move is 5 foot. And so if I have a move of 6, I can move 30 feet. No, move is how tall am I? So if I have a move of 5 and he has a move of 5, but I'm 6 foot and he's 5 foot, I can go farther than he can.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's going to be wanting to play as, like, 6 foot guys. No one wants to play as Krillin in this situation.
Krillin, right.
I'm just a human.
I'm here to help. I'm Krillin. I don't have any powers.
But anyway, the reason for that, though, is because they want you to be able to play this game with any miniatures you want, whether they be the 30mm version of the action figure or the 120mm version of the action figure.
Just make sure everyone's using the same type, because you don't want to have someone playing with one of the giant guys and then someone else playing with a regular one. You're like, aw.
But that's the whole point, is that you're supposed to play this game with action figures. My favorite is that they actually describe them as fashion dolls. They're like, you can play this game with anything. Coins, action figures, or even fashion dolls.
Oh, fashion dolls.
I was like, is that Barbies? Is that what they're describing as Barbies?
And then they have a thing where they're like, oh, we created our Namek warrior combining a Goku figure, an adult Gohan figure, a repainted Cell Jr. head, and a cloth cape. Look, we just bought like 6 different action figures, broke them, put them back together, and made one guy. You could do that. I'm like, quit trying to make me buy a shitload of Dragon Ball Z stuff. Well, and then destroy it.
You end up with a bunch of extra parts. I mean, you could take your spare cell head and or body and put a Goku head on it and play as that. Whatever, you could play as Bug Human Head Man.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm playing as.
Bug McHuman Head Man.
Yep, there we go. You got it. There's the preview of our bonus content.
No, but okay, so I thought that was kind of interesting that they were like, okay, well, what do our fans, the sort of person who would buy this book, have in excess? Well, probably Dragon Ball Z figures. So let's give them the ability to do that. And then they include the only photo in the book, which is of a frankly laughable looking figure.
Yeah, that figure that I just described is in the book, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they used a Cell head, which in Cell looks like he's wearing a permanent helmet.
Yeah, well, he's supposed to be, like, Namekian, so the only thing we could find was Cell's head that looked green.
Yeah, I guess, because Cell does not look Namekian. Cell is a weird green thing.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway,
the other thing they have in there is an entire segment of the book on setting up your own Tenkaichi Budokai tournament, and it gives you, like, the listings for here's how your tournament is going to play out. Here's how you want to set up all your fights and your matches. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but I'm pretty sure I could just go find like a March Madness map and put player names onto it and it'd be fine.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and then you just say it's on Pineapple Island or Papaya Island or whatever the hell, because the world of Dragon Ball is something that they go into heavy detail in this book, and most of it's just weird little islands with fun names.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing we didn't mention that you have to give your character is their weird quirks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this game's got, basically, it's divided into a personality, history, and quirks section.
Yeah, so you have to go, who you are is basically just your race.
Yeah.
But then you also get your weird things where you have to have something like, oh, I love spinach, and I will always eat spinach if it's around. Or it talks about, like, Goku is always hungry. He is never not hungry. That's a weird quirk he has.
Yeah, and Krillin is unusually short and he didn't have any power.
So. Ah, Krillin.
And then, let's see, Piccolo can't drive.
Yeah, that's racist.
No, it's true. There's a whole storyline where
everyone
he has to
knows
get his driver's
Namekians
license.
Can't drive.
There's a storyline where him and Vegeta have to go get their driver's licenses. It's famous because for some reason Vegeta is wearing a Hawaiian shirt that has "bad man" written on the back of it.
Oh man!
And then I feel like, and I'm not sure if I'm right about this because it has been like a decade since I gave a shit about any of this. But I feel like there was a point where Piccolo was wearing a T-shirt that said "Post Boy" on it.
Wow.
Yeah, just Post Boy.
Man, that just sounds like it's some sort of euphemism.
I know, doesn't it? At this point, at the time, I was like, oh, they forgot to put the E and the R on there. It should have said Poster Boy. Or Post Boyer.
Yeah, Post Boyer.
No,
brought to you by Post Boyer.
But nowadays, that sounds like postmodern sexuality.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, this is my Post Boy.
Yeah, I have one of those, of course. I've moved on past boy, thank you.
Oh.
Evian, please, in the bottle. Or it's just a new way to describe adolescence.
Yeah.
Oh, are you in that 13 to 14 awkward age? That's a post boy.
You're post boy,
not
but pre man.
That's just a Britney Spears song.
Post boy, pre man.
All right. So let's see. The only other thing I think that was worth mentioning about the contents of this book is a very fun rule that if you act out your character's hand gestures and yell real loud.
If you make a technique and it's, oh, when I do this, I have to yell a certain phrase or strike a certain pose in order to do it. If you straight up do that during the game, then you get a bonus to it.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is that, you know, that's a great idea, right?
It's the way to get your players into doing it.
It's the only way to get your players interested in playing a Dragon Ball Z role-playing game is to be like, all right, everyone, you get to yell Kamehameha all you want. And you get to teleport around and
point to your forehead and then point at a dude.
Yeah, you can totally do all the moves. You get to do the cool moves and yell them and dance around while you're doing them. You want to do that fusion dance? Go for it. Let's have fun, everybody. So it's great. Although I did not know until I was reading this book just exactly how racist just writing down a phrase can be.
Okay.
Well, it's like they all forgot how to put R's. Every one of them's like, super amazing brast! Or something. Wow. It's like, wow, did you seriously write that down? Am I playing fucking Samurai Showdown on a Neo Geo in 1996? Is that what this is?
No, of course you aren't, because back in the day, that shit cost so much money.
We're on a 3DO. But yeah, that was the thing. I mean, literally, if you beat someone with a special move, it would put the special move on screen in that game, which meant you were constantly seeing the words Prasma Brast written out.
Ugh. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, John, what would you say, all things considered?
Everything considered.
Is your favorite thing about Dragon Ball Z, the anime adventure role-playing game?
For me, it's the character creation. Character creation is so streamlined and easy.
Yeah.
You just have your points you get. It's so quick to make a character. Because 4 stats, 6 skills, everything's super easy to do. Make a few quirks, figure out what your race is.
Roll your power level.
And then you're done.
Yeah,
It's. I know that they say they have a full system, but I'm like, man, I don't want to know what your full system is, because this streamlined system is exactly what I would want from this.
I know, and I don't even want to know what the next, because they were like, oh, there's a bunch more books coming. We're going to do the Frieza Saga and then the Cell Saga. And, you know, I checked and they actually did. Those books exist.
Of course they do.
I didn't read them or anything, because no research.
No.
Never. But they do exist. The books came out. I don't want to read them, though. I don't want to know what Super Saiyan does. It seems like it would just do a bunch of extra shit I'd have to write down.
Well, the problem is, like, as much as I love the character creation, once you get into the higher power levels, the game is just Rocket Tag. That's all it is.
It's 100% Rocket Tag. You just and it rewards you for building one power instead of building an interesting library of them.
Yeah, I mean, at least with the game, the way defense works, subtracting damage and then you do your actual leftover as hit point damage, it means that if I do, say, get 4 attacks and I just throw 4 out there that are regular attacks, I'm probably doing less than someone who just spent all of their energy, instead of buying extra attacks, putting it into one super attack.
Yeah.
But they did do things like the technique or the energy beam. The more energy you put into it, or the more power and damage it does, the less accurate it is.
Yeah. So there's an interesting balance. It kind of falls out the window with how easy it is to build like a 50 die attack that'll kill someone if you can hit them.
Oh, yeah. Well, the big thing with that is just going, oh, I bought a million bajillion die attack, and then I add in just a few more energy to make it homing and area of effect so that it will follow after them and I get double whatever my accuracy was because it's homing, and then as long as I get near them, it explodes and kills them anyway.
Right, so it's very easy to build a super bomb that'll kill everybody. The spirit bomb, if you will.
But, and they do describe how the spirit bomb works as well, which is interesting.
They do. They describe everything. They even have a section in this book for how to get around your players trying to collect the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, did someone die and your players are trying to collect the Dragon Balls, but you don't want that player brought back? Here's a bunch of things you can throw in their way to stop them from collecting the Dragon Balls.
Yep.
Here's a bunch of extra rules you didn't know about the Dragon Balls to make them more complicated to use. And I was like, why don't you just start the game 3 days after someone used them? Because the whole thing with the fucking Dragon Balls is once you collect them, it takes a year before they come back together again, or before they turn back into Dragon Balls.
Yeah, unless you're using the Namekian Dragon Balls, and then it's 130 days.
Oh, it's only 130 days. I'm sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
Also, they're bigger. Namekians got big balls.
You can get a more powerful wish, except when it comes to resurrection, because you can resurrect someone, just a single person with the Namekian ones, but a whole crowd with the Earth ones.
Yeah, which is funny, because I feel like that took a lot of testing for them to be like, all right, I'm going to wish for, I don't know, like 10 people? 10 people come back to life? Does that work, Shenron? What do you got for me, 10?
Shenron's like, yeah, sure.
10? That's good, yeah. You want to go higher? You want to go 13? You got 3 more people you wish weren't dead?
Yeah, plus you get 3 wishes for the Namekian one instead of just 1.
Yeah, which technically means you'd get 3 people back.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a whole but the whole game's got to be built around this kind of fear that the players are just going to assemble these Dragon Balls. Which, admittedly, doesn't seem like it's all that hard to do. Your character can happily fly at Mach 6.
Yeah, and in-universe, a Dragon Ball detector exists.
Yep, sure does. Thank you, Bulma. Thank you, Capsule Corps.
Thank you. I'm glad that Bulma got that because she wanted a boyfriend.
All right, so
okay, so that was my favorite thing in here. What's your favorite?
I like the whole you have to yell power names to get the extra bonus to hit with them.
Okay.
I thought that was cute. It's a great way to get players to play the game, and it's fun to be like standing there going like super ultra mega beam or whatever it is you're going to do.
Ice beam! Ice beam!
Carbonadium smasher! Yeah,
all Berserker Barrage.
Yeah, mine are all just going to be from the Marvel vs. Capcom franchise.
Yeah, that's it. Gamma Tsunami!
My favorite was in Marvel vs. Capcom, I think just the first one, or maybe this... It was either the first or the second one, where it would combine the two moves' names on screen when you used it to kill someone or take someone out for good. And you'd get things like Optic Barrage and so on.
Uh-huh.
And that, or Optic Knee, which was awesome, but it meant there were two of them you could get. One of them by... I don't remember who I had to combine to get these. But one of them was Star Destroyer, and the other one was Death Star.
Good.
I remember Star Destroyer was Captain America hanging out with...
Yeah, because it's Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, it's Stars and Stripes, and then Omega Destroyer, which means it was Omega Red.
There you go.
So if you use the two of them together, you got Star Destroyer flashing across the screen. I was like, fuck yeah. All it took was bringing down that wall.
Bringing it together, finally.
Americans and Russians hanging out.
Woo.
All right, so yeah, that's my favorite thing, is yelling stuff and acting out the dumb moves.
Being halfway between a LARP and a regular
RPG. If I'm going to play fucking Dragon Ball the RPG, I'm going to play Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a better time, right? That's all. It's because otherwise, if I was, I'm not going to sit down and try and play this game as a technical challenge.
No, that's not the point.
No, this is a physical challenge of a game. That's
this is the double dare of RPGs.
Yeah, of the games, this is digging around in a giant nose till you find a flag. That's what this game is.
It's straight up just, I'm wearing a bucket on my head and someone is throwing a goo balloon into it.
There you go. That's what this game is. Double dare. Look it up, young listeners.
Come on, Double Dare. It was great. Mark Summers, he tells you how stuff is made now.
Yeah, nowadays he just tells you how candy was made and then packaged. And he sits in a diner while he does it. He doesn't have his cool charm of yesteryear.
Aw, so sad.
Your least favorite thing about Dragon Ball Z, the anime adventure game?
I've said it several times during the review, but it's randomly rolling for power level. It is the one thing in this game that I was like, no, that was a terrible idea. Don't do that. If you're going to have power level be so integral to how good you are as a player, because it's how much you can spend to make your energy blasts or extra attacks or your weird techniques, like having a clone pop up or whatever. You have to spend it to fly. You have to spend it to do basically anything.
Yeah.
To say that, oh, well, this guy just randomly rolled and he is literally six times better than you. Like, oh, great. Well, fuck it then. I don't care.
Right, it is kind of a problem, and it's weird because the rest of the game uses a nice simple point buy system, and it's like they just didn't stick the landing.
Oh yeah, that's why it's also so terrible to me, is because everything else was so balanced, to then say, okay, but this one thing, this is the one thing.
It's especially bad because the levers are there to fix it into a good point buy system. You have three relevant areas in the power level. You have the raw power level itself. You have the power up, which is how much more you can get by standing around yelling.
Yeah.
And then you have a recovery rate. So by just saying, okay, you've got 100 points to spend on these three things, you could easily build another point buy system that would give people a semblance of more balance.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you could say like, oh, yeah, well, my starting level isn't super great, but what I can do is power up, or what I can do is get my power back. So I don't have a lot to spend in any given attack, but I'll get enough back that I will... You know, in an aggregate, be spending more.
I can just constantly hose blasts out. Just be pew, 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 pew forever.
Yeah, I just shoot little energy beams instead of trying to spirit bomb people.
Yeah. So it was there. The tools were there to build that into a functional system, and it just didn't stick the landing.
Yeah, that's why it's the worst thing in there, is because you can see how it would work, and yet it didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so for you, what makes you the saddest in here?
I'm going to say the thing that you have to roll to play as a Saiyan or a Namekian, and the odds are super against you.
Yeah.
It's just unnecessary. I mean, again, it's funny because we're both saying the same thing. The times when this book goes random are bad.
Yep.
There's no reason for them. If you're playing in the Vegeta saga, you want to play as Vegeta or Goku or Gohan. I mean, granted, Gohan's four and kind of sucks in this time period, but you know, they're fun. It's fun to play as Namekians and Saiyans. That's what's cool.
Yeah.
No one wants to play Yamcha.
Well, I'm sure someone wants to play Yamcha. I think it's Bulma. Hey.
Hey, ho. She ends up with Vegeta, though.
Aw, I know, and it's terrible. Yeah. Should have been with Yamcha. I ship Yamcha and Bulma.
Or Yolma, as I think it's known. Bomcha.
Yama.
Yeah, something like that. So I didn't care for that. I feel like just let people pick, especially since it's just not that big of a deal. I mean, I can understand where you're like, oh, I'm trying to keep the world rare, and there's only one Piccolo on Earth, and then there's Kami, who's another Namekian living up above Earth, but no one else ever sees these guys. They're so rare that they don't even know that they're aliens. so what? Let people play them if they want. You can come up with a story that explains that. You're letting people play as wolf guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're already being like, oh, you're one of the incredibly few people on the planet that can actually, like, shoot energy beams and fly and punch a tank, and who even cares? You're like, okay, so you're making superheroes, but then you're like, yeah, but you can't be a green superhero.
Yeah. You also can't be one with cool hair. So that was kind of a bummer. And, you know, again, easily fixed by just ignoring it.
Yep.
So there you go. Would you play Dragon Ball Z, the anime adventure role-playing game?
You know, I probably would.
It's
I mean, so easy to make. If you tweaked the stuff we were talking about, the random shenanigans, and actually gave a certain degree of choice to power level, and then you can pick your race, whatever. Yeah, it's a fine, serviceable system. It's just 3D6 based with some modifiers. It's easy enough. You've got a decent balance between accuracy and power. Like, it's a very simple system. If someone said, hey, I want to do a goofy anime thing and I want you to be a Dragon Ball fighter, come play this game, I go, all right, sure.
Yeah, no, I feel about the same way. So yeah, I would probably also play this game for the same reason. It's very quick and simple. I actually don't mind the move mechanic of just putting little action figures on the table. I think that's fun. I think it's especially that kind of thing when you're trying to teach a new kid how to play like role-playing games, to be like, all right, go get your action figures. Let's play with those. That'll be great.
Yeah, just how far do I move? Well, lay your action figure down on his side and move him forward three lengths.
You know, if you think about it, that basically means that this has stolen the mechanic for moving from the famous game Beer and Pretzels.
Yeah, which, I mean, I assume the guys who made Beer and Pretzels are probably forming a lawsuit right now.
Yeah, because Beer and Pretzels use the exact same system, where the average move of any given pretzel is equivalent to one beer laid on its side.
Yeah.
And if it's moving through forest or otherwise difficult terrain, it can instead move the length of one beer standing up.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Whatever, you know, I'm sure that the guys who work at Beer and Pretzels would be worth it, or be willing to forego any kind of legal action in exchange for like a written apology.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just a common cease and desist. It's not like they're trying to ruin the company.
Yeah, no, I don't want to ruin our Talsorian games. I think they do a great job doing what it is they do. They're fine by me. But, you know, just a written apology, maybe a bunch of free games.
Just an acknowledgement and a big sack of money with a dollar sign on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of those giant sacks of money with a dollar sign on it. The kind that you know, robbers steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
The kind you find in a bank and that a guy in a stripy shirt takes.
Yeah, it's exact sort of. And usually he leaves it on a nearby tree when he smells a pie.
Yeah, he floats over to the smell of a blueberry pie on a windowsill.
Yeah, that's all we want. All we want is a pie with hobo lifting aroma and.
I want that on the tin, now with hobo lifting aroma.
Yeah, and just a sack of money that says money on the side via a dollar sign. That's all.
Maybe a big old black bomb with a wick.
Ooh, that'd be pretty good. Yeah, a round bomb.
Yeah, just one of those big round black bombs with a white wick coming out of there.
Hmm, yeah. I'd also like a car I could drive around in that's the same size as me, and yet there are like five of me on the car.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah. All right, so you've heard it. You heard it there, R. Talsorian, the makers of Beer and Pretzels, just listing our very, very reasonable demands.
The super reasonable demands.
Nothing dramatic. Got anything else you want to bring up this week, John?
Not really. I mean, we've got, we said it on Twitter, but for anyone listening who doesn't follow us on Twitter, you're dumb and should follow us on Twitter, but we have gotten our first tickets to a con coming up. We're going to be going to KublaCon in the Bay Area over near San Francisco.
That's right. At the SFO Airport Radisson, I think is where it's being held. It's Memorial Day weekend. So May 27th through 31st or something like that. I don't remember exactly. I don't have those details in front of me, but we have both registered for the convention. We are looking at the possibility of running a game while we're there, just getting one of the tables and running a game. Chances are we could run Duckman, so if you'd like to finally play Duckman, let us know on Twitter or Facebook that you're going to be there, that you're going to look for us, and that you'd play in our game, because we don't want to embarrass ourselves and just sit at an empty table.
Oh yeah, we're not going to register for a game and then just sit there looking at each other. We do enough of that as it is.
I know, I spend way too much time looking at John. I would much rather look at Duckman character sheets.
That is exactly right.
Yep, so let us know if you can meet us out there. We'll host something. you know, even if nothing else, we'll do a bar night where you can come out and meet us and drink with us and buy us drinks or whatever.
Yeah, we're going to host a night where you can come out and buy us things.
That's exactly right. It's going to be held at Toys R Us.
Oh, my God. You are a child.
What? All right, wait. You pick a location.
Okay, we'll be at Good Vibrations if you want to come meet us.
John needs sex toys.
I need so many dildos, you guys. Come on.
All right, well, we're going to need to get you Toys R Us grade dildos.
So, G.I. Joe action figures?
Mostly Duplos, some G.I. Joe.
Oh, man, I don't want that inside of me.
Hey, look at this. We went full circle. Guess what's up my butt?
it's nice. It rhymes.
All right, everybody. We do have another big discussion coming up. We've started running actual play podcasts.
Yeah, you can find the first of that on our website if you missed that.
By the time this releases, you'll be able to find the first two, actually, because the second episode will come out the day before this.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so there'll be two of those, both of us playing Dr. Magnet Hands with Friends. We're going to change up the roster. We're going to change up the game from time to time just to keep it fresh and interesting. Who knows what we'll play and when. We are still, however, working on the mechanic for distribution. We've been considering maybe moving the Patreon to a monthly instead of a per episode. We got a whole bunch of ideas in the air for how to put those out in a fashion that works for everybody. So, thanks so much for listening, as always. Keep us informed with things you'd like to hear us do.
Yeah, if you've got a game you want us to review, let us know. Or if it's a PDF, you can go ahead and email it to us. If it's a book, you can email us and we'll give you the address to send the book to.
Yeah, that would be at systemmastery@gmail.com. You can also find our website, systemmasterypodcast.com. You can follow us as System Mastery on Twitter or Facebook. And those are all the different ways you can get a hold of us. Send us all your afterthought questions and movie recommendations and money. There is a Patreon.
Yeah, thanks, send us all of your money.
We have a Patreon. If you want to support that, then you get our bonus content, which we're going to go record almost immediately here. The bonus content, every time we do a System Mastery episode, we also go back and make characters in that game.
Yeah, you can find out what thrilling fighters will be on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z.
That's exactly right. So, support us as System Mastery on Patreon if you like. And otherwise, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in a couple of weeks with another one of these, and have a good week.